This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A leak plugged or a leaker caught? Is America more secure today than it was yesterday with the revelation that a federal subcontractor who leaked classified information to the online media outlet The Intercept has been caught? Her name? Reality Lee Winner, a 25-year-old contractor with the company Pluribus International Corporation in Georgia, has been formally charged with removing classified material from a government facility. The document contained apparent confirmation that the Russians had hacking tools at their disposal to interfere with the 2016 U.S. elections and may have been using them in targeted spear phishing attacks, collecting information on election-related software and hardware, and going after local U.S. election officials aimed at installing malicious software. Security expert James Banford believes that the NSA's vulnerability has once again been revealed.
The NSA's been actually losing tremendous amounts of information in the last few years. I mean, just last year they arrested Hal Martin, who managed to sneak out of NSA 50 terabytes worth of information. That's half a billion pages of documents. Before that, Edward Snowden walked away with probably 1.7 million pages, at least according to the government. So this is really one of the few times they've caught a release very early on.
But just how this adds to the swirl of investigations surrounding Russian influence and the Trump campaign, we go now to New York Times reporter for the Washington Bureau, Scott Shane. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, John.
So is this leak and this particular piece of information significant in your view? How does it rank?
It's a little window on the world of Russian hacking, Russian government hacking, particularly by the GRU, Russian Military Intelligence. That, of course, is a huge issue right now since the U.S. intelligence agencies have accused Russia of hacking into Democratic targets during the presidential election and leaking emails and confidential documents. And as everybody knows, that conceivably had a significant effect on the election. So, you know, everybody's interested in Russian hacking. Russian President Vladimir Putin was just the other day once again denying that the Russian state ever engaged in such activities, although for the first time he allowed that hackers were like artists, and it could be that some Russian hacker artists had woken up one morning and decided to hack something. This document expresses no doubt that the GRU is the entity behind these particular set of attacks. So in that sense, it's sort of an unusual window on the National Security Agency's research into Russian hacking.
Is there any indication in the timing of this leak that she, by leaking this information, was answering a question about the existence of specific Russian tools to hack? That she was, in a sense, saying, well, here, I know the answer to this question. Boom. And she puts it in the mail.
You know, from a glance at her Facebook page, and, you know, we should emphasize that she's been charged but has not been found guilty. But from her Facebook page and Twitter feed, it appears that she was fairly strongly opposed to President Trump. Trump supporters and the president himself have expressed public doubt that Russia was in fact behind the hacking of Democrats in the election. So it could be that this was one, you know, document that made the case in a fairly strong way that Russia was in fact hacking U.S. election targets. So in that sense, it might have been for her, speculating here, might have been for her a sort of way to make a point in a political argument.
Finally, how can the NSA defend against people like this? American citizens with political opinions, working for subcontractors with top secret security clearances, their subcontractors. Essentially, the security of the U.S. government is a subcontracted entity, and we can't assume there are any secrets.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think this is, kind of an ongoing crisis for the intelligence agencies and particularly for NSA since Edward Snowden. When you employ, I think, about 35,000 people at NSA, there are going to be a lot of people with all kinds of political views, and they're all technically sophisticated. And, you know, if they decide to remove data, as Edward Snowden showed, you know, these days with a thumb drive, you can remove a whole lot of data. So it's a real crisis. Far worse than this particular leak was the theft of NSA hacking tools that were then put up for auction by a group calling itself the Shadow Brokers, which has still not been identified. These were the tools. So, you know, in some ways, these are sort of the crown jewels of the NSA. They're the tools that NSA uses to break into foreign computer networks. And NSA has undergone the humiliation in the last year of seeing these tools, you know, put up on the internet and sort of offered to all comers. You know, I think there are a lot of people at NSA today thinking about that very question. Can we ever stop these kinds of leaks?
Scott Shane, reporter for the Washington Bureau of the New York Times. Thanks so much, Scott.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.